This morning's scheduled launch of NASA's next-generation Orion spacecraft was scrapped, but officials will trial again tomorrow. No one will be aboard when it launches, but Orion is designed to take astronauts into deep space, including Mars. NASA wants to test the most risky systems before flying with a crew. The last time a spacecraft designed for human travel left low Earth orbit was the 1972 Apollo 17 mission, which was also the last time astronauts walked on the moon. Tom Durkin is the deputy director of the South Dakota Space Grant Consortium, which provides a link to NASA, and he joins us on the line from Rapid City. And Tom, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm assuming that you were up early to watch the launch.
Yes, I did get up to watch it, and then realized, well, I just have to wait 24 hours now.
What was that? Was that disappointing then for you?
It was, of course it's disappointing because you're the anticipation part of it is always a big part of a launch, but it is fairly routine when of all the thousands of things that are tracked, a mission scrub for something like this, is not uncommon. But it was disappointing. I wish it would have launched today.
Well, why was this morning's launch canceled?
The first reason initially was just some high winds. They had a 2.5 hour launch window. Looking at Rapid City time, it was supposed to launch at 5:05 a.m. And the high winds for a little while were just slowing it down within that 2.5 hour launch window period. But then there was a problem that the engineers couldn't troubleshoot with a valve system that was a drain and fill a valve system that dealt with fuel. So it was just an anomaly that they couldn't figure out, and they decided that's important enough to figure out before they hit the launch button. So that was the reason. It's rescheduled now for the same time, 5:05 a.m. Tomorrow morning.
So what needs to be done now to prepare for the launch tomorrow?
That they'll troubleshoot that valve problem. They've already restarted the countdown, which right now I'm actually looking at 17 hours, 56 minutes, and 7 seconds and counting. So they're just going through the exact same sequence that they did a day ago again. And then we'll see what the weather's like tomorrow, make sure all systems are go, and if so, it'll launch at that time tomorrow morning.
What are the plans for the test flight? What will happen?
Well, it's a 4.5 hour test flight. It's a two orbit around the Earth test flight, and the reason for this is really a milestone here for NASA because this is our next generation spacecraft that will carry our American made spacecraft to carry our American astronauts into deep space. And of course, before we put people aboard any type of significantly new technology like this, even though the capsule itself, when you look at a picture of it, looks very Apollo capsule-like, that's really only in shape. The technologies and the electronics on board are all new technology, and that has to be tested vigorously in spaceflight, with the first missions being unmanned. So one of the important ones is the heat shield. This spacecraft will be entering the Earth's atmosphere at about 20,000 miles per hour. It'll be launched to the highest altitude that we have sent a spacecraft that is meant to be crewed eventually since the Apollo missions. And it'll actually go up about 15 times higher than the orbit of the International Space Station, where our astronauts reside right now. This mission will be launched about 3,600 miles, and that'll allow a very high entry a very high velocity re-entry at about 20,000 miles an hour when it hits the atmosphere. And so that'll be a real good test of the heat shield. It'll also pass through the Van Allen belts, which are very high radiation. It'll pass through them on the way up and on the way down. So all of the new sensitive instrumentation on board will be tested for how it stands up to the higher radiation in the Van Allen belts. That's an important test. We'll be collecting lots of information on how that instrumentation, which again is new, holds up to that. And then one of the other big things is the parachute deployment. And these are new, bigger parachutes because the crew capsule is bigger than the Apollo-type capsule. It's heavier, and of course, it has to be has to come back at a controlled speed to where parachutes open in sequences, so there isn't a real big snap and increase in G-forces, because when we have a crew on board, you know, we want the descent to be comfortable enough to where crew members, you know, wouldn't be hurt by it.
Now, tomorrow's rescheduled launch of the Orion spacecraft is the first test flight. What happens after this, assuming it's successful and they're able to test things and see how this is working? What happens then over the next few years? I'm assuming there'll be more test flights, more testing going on.
Right. My understanding, tomorrow's launch will be aboard what's called a Delta IV heavy rocket, which will provide the power to get it up to the altitude that we need for the test flight. But for the deep space missions, you know, where we go, you know, much higher than that, if you will, to the moon, to an asteroid, and eventually on to Mars, will require a more powerful rocket, which is under development now, called the SLS. It stands for Space Launch System. And it is would be even a more powerful rocket than the one that's going to launch Orion tomorrow. And so Orion is being configured, that heavy Space Launch System rocket is being developed, and I believe the next test would be aboard that rocket. And that will take some time to get to that point, but that's the next stage. My understanding, the next test flight would be aboard the Space Launch System heavy lift rocket.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Tom Durkin. He's the Deputy Director of the South Dakota Space Grant Consortium. We're talking about the launch of NASA's next-generation Orion spacecraft. It was scheduled to launch this morning. That was scrapped, but officials will say they're going to try again tomorrow, and the countdown is already underway. And Tom Durkin will also give a presentation on Sunday afternoon at the Journey Museum in Rapid City. Beginning at 2 o'clock, he'll discuss Orion and give an update on other space exploration efforts. And Tom, one of the things that I think is really capturing people's imagination here is the idea of a crew going to Mars. With that in mind, has NASA given any sort of timeline as when that would be possible?
Well, I think probably the safest thing to say with the terms of time is that it will probably happen. My guess would be it certainly could happen, and I'm going to say it probably will happen. Within the generation of folks that are you know, young people now, I'm talking pre-college and even college students, and those maybe just recently out of college. But within that generation, because the technology is getting to the point now where, even though it's a 7-month journey to Mars, and we're still learning about how to keep our astronauts healthy, you know, over that journey, it would be a 2-year mission to Mars. It's absolutely fascinating because it's the first time in human history when we now live at a point where for the first time a human being could set foot on another planet. I mean, it's just amazing. And of course, the technology that we are developing to be able to get us there has application in all sorts of other uses, not just space flight. So it's really exciting in the standpoint of new spin-off technologies that will develop as a result of this investment on such a major mission to go to another planet, and then also just for that human interest story. Imagine the first person to step foot on another planet. We know what a famous person and hero Neil Armstrong was stepping foot on the moon. And now we're actually talking about another planet. So very, very inspiring. I think it really has the opportunity to inspire this generation of young people to pursue careers in science and math and exploration and engineering, just like the Apollo mission did when you and I were their age.
NASA Administrator Charlie Bolden said yesterday, I think, that Orion's test flight is a continuation of what Apollo started. He said that we've taken a 40-year hiatus, and now we're back on track. It sounds like, from what you're saying, that that this will capture people's imagination again, just like you mentioned when we were young with the Apollo missions.
Yes, I do, and I think it already has. And it's just an exciting time to be able to follow this now that you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're working toward that that goal. We've already sent the robots. The robots are up on Mars right now. That's always the first step before human exploration. They're doing well. We know how to do that. We've done it quite well. We're successful at it. The next step now will be the human explorers.
And also, in addition to Mars, part of this Orion exploration of asteroids?
Mm-hmm.
And what is involved there? What are the plans for Orion in that regard?
There's a mission right now that's on the table called the asteroid redirect mission, which would go up, capture a small asteroid, and put it into lunar orbit. There's thoughts both ways on that. That some feel that that's a worthwhile mission. Some feel that it isn't. Right now, it's definitely on the table. But of course, there'd be things we could learn about space exploration, rendezvous, captures, that kind of thing, and putting an object like that in lunar orbit. But that may or may not happen, but the overall goal is to, put the first human on Mars. So if the asteroid redirect mission continues forward, that will happen before we get to Mars. That would be a first step. And right now it is an actual mission. But if it doesn't, the goal will still be to send people to Mars. That part won't change.
How long has Orion been in the planning stages?
Actually, it's been in the planning stages for a long time. We knew the space shuttle, which never could go below or beyond low Earth orbit. It could only go up to low Earth orbit to basically put satellites into orbit and to build the International Space Station. We knew that was going to be retired several years ago. So the plan then was to build a next-generation spacecraft, which would do what the shuttle did, be able to get things into low Earth orbit, but then take that next step and go beyond low Earth orbit back into deep space like we did with the Apollo missions. And so it's been in the planning stage for probably a decade and a half at least, if not longer than that. And then when the Constellation program was cut back in 2009 and 10 timeframe, which was that next generation spacecraft mission to the Moon, Mars, and beyond, certain components of it remained funded. And that was the Crew Exploration Vehicle, which is Orion, and then the Heavy Lift Rocket, which is now called the Space Launch System. So those two very important components remained. They were funded, and we've been working relatively quietly. You haven't heard a lot about them in the news, but they've been moving forward, and that's what we've got right now. And now that Orion is getting to the point of its first test flight, people will be hearing a lot more about our long-term plans for manned space flight.
Well, this fall has been quite exciting for space exploration. Last month, there was the spacecraft that landed on a comet.
Yes, that was really inspiring, and all the credits to the European Space Agency as well as NASA, which helped build several of the instruments on board that spacecraft. That was the Rosetta spacecraft. It was a 10-year mission to reach the comet, and it made it to the comet. It made it into orbit around the comet. Very very small comet. Comets are very not very dense. So the fact that it was only 2 miles in diameter and not dense, it's just kind of like a loosely packed snowball. It had the gravity of about 1/100,000th of the Earth's gravity. Imagine the difficulty in establishing an orbit around an object with such little gravity. And they were able to do that, the European Space Agency, with, of course, NASA's help. And then when this Rosetta spacecraft was in orbit, only about 14 miles from the surface of the comet, the little lander that had been attached to it for 10 years deployed, and very slowly descended down to the surface of the comet. And although it bounced a couple of times from its initial target zone, which it did hit, we did hit the target initially, the harpoons that were supposed to fire into the surface to keep it on the ground because there's so little gravity didn't fire, and it bounced a couple of times before it came to rest. But it did land in the right orientation, and it was in a little bit of a darker area, so there wasn't enough sunlight to generate solar power for the secondary batteries, but the primary batteries served their purpose, and it conducted about a 2.5-day mission on the surface of that comet and sent all the information back to us. And the orbiting spacecraft Rosetta is still working fine. It's in orbit around the comet, and it'll be very interesting over the next few months as the comet approaches the sun. Its closest approach will be in August of this year, and we'll be getting some amazing pictures back from that comet as it becomes very active as it gets closer to the sun. So that's just another very, very interesting non-manned, fully robotic mission.
Tom Durkin is Deputy Director of the South Dakota Space Grant Consortium, and he's giving a presentation on Sunday afternoon at the Journey Museum in Rapid City that begins at 2 o'clock. And Tom, if the flight goes as planned tomorrow with the rescheduled launch for Orion, I'm assuming that as part of the presentation then at the Journey Sunday afternoon, you'll give an update and maybe have pictures and that sort of thing?
Yes, we'll be using the Journey's very high-definition Univue planetarium program to be able to fly to Mars, and it's very very good graphics. We'll also be showing some images of the launch. We actually have a student that graduated from the School of Mines here last year. She's down there with some friends to watch the launch. I'm hoping that she'll be able to send me some pictures. I'll include those since it's got a South Dakota connection there. And one of the folks that we're working with at the Journey Museum actually has a relative on board the Navy recovery ship. And if it isn't breaking any rules, I don't know if the person on the ship will be able to take pictures and send them back. But if they can, and it's allowable, I'll be including some of those pictures too, if all goes well and the launch goes off on time and is successful. And I'll get them worked into the presentation on Sunday. So I'm really appreciative of the Journey Museum and Learning Center and their education staff for hosting this event, and encourage people to come on out. They do have a charge for adults, but children under 17, I believe, are free.
And this, you'll be able to talk about a very, very historic event if the launch is successful tomorrow.
That's right.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks again for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
You bet, Carl. Thank you very much.